we're talking about the repeal of net neutrality 1 year in. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Net neutrality had prevented internet providers from blocking specific web pages or from giving preferential treatment to particular sites. But the head of the Federal Communications Commission, Ajit Pai, said the repeal of net neutrality would bring back the regulation-free policy that helped the internet thrive. It would lead to a free and open internet. And some warned of dire consequences that we'd see an internet Armageddon unfolding. So where are we at today? Are you in favor of or against net neutrality? Do you think internet service providers like Comcast and AT&T should be regulated by the government? We're at 800-642-1234. Gigi Sohn is a distinguished fellow at Georgetown Law Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy. She serves on the Electronic Frontier Foundation Board of Directors, and she was at the Federal Communications Commission from 2013 to 2016 as a counselor to the chairman. Gigi, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Well, before we get into the nuts and bolts of net neutrality, can you step back for us and explain what it is and what it does?
Sure. You actually did quite a good job. So net neutrality is the principle that you and I should control our internet experience. We should decide where we want to go on the internet, what we want to do, and who the winners and losers are on the internet. Net neutrality prevents an ISP from taking over an internet service provider like Comcast, like Verizon, like AT&T. It prevents your internet service provider from doing that for you. Well, how would they do that? Well, they could block certain traffic that they don't like. They could throttle the speeds of certain traffic. So they could promise you a certain speed, but throttle back that speed so a website comes up slower than it's supposed to. Or, and this is the thing that frankly people are most worried about, they could charge certain websites or certain services like Netflix more money to get to the customer faster. And that really is the antithesis of how the internet was designed. The internet was designed to put control in your hands and my hands. So the people at the ends of the network, as opposed to an internet service provider in the middle of the network.
Well, remind us how we got here, because last year net neutrality was repealed by the FCC. It was actually December of 2017. That went into effect June of last year. Tell us more about the FCC's decision to end net neutrality. What went into that?
Well, I think I need to tell you first about how we even got to 2017, how we got to the repeal. So I'm going to take you back to 2002.
Okay.
And we were in a world, it was mostly dial-up internet. It wasn't not this fast broadband internet that we
have
today.
Wasn't fancy. Mm-hmm.
No.
It
wasn't fancy, but the average American had a choice of 13 dial-up internet service providers. And that was because the law regulated those companies like telephone companies. Okay, so telephone companies are more heavily regulated under the Communications Act. And under telephone rules, the dominant telephone company in an area had to make their facilities available to competitors. So we had 13. Can you imagine that? Most Americans don't have a choice of more than two. And many have a choice, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, air quotes, have a choice of one. Well, the FCC decided to deregulate the internet, particularly broadband internet, which is kind of coming on board around 2002, and said, you know what, this isn't like a telephone service. This is unregulated. Okay, we're not going to regulate it anymore. And life went on until 2015. There were a series of court cases, and it's funny, the opponents of net neutrality always tend to forget these court cases, where the FCC tried several times to put net neutrality into law, to prohibit blocking, to prohibit throttling, to prohibit what we call paid prioritization or fast lanes by internet service providers. And each time the court said your rationale isn't adequate enough. So in 2015, when I was at the FCC, we finally said, look, The FCC essentially was wrong, and facts had changed since 2002, and that we are going to regulate broadband internet access more, not completely, but more like a telephone service. And guess what? The court said, bingo, you figured it out, you gave the right rationale, we're upholding your rules. But that wasn't good enough for the Trump FCC, and in 2017, they repealed the rules, and this is, in my opinion, even more important, they abdicated the FCC's responsibility to engage in any kind of oversight over the broadband market. And even in the most deregulatory Republican FCCs from 2002 to 2017, no FCC chair said, you know what, we don't think we should have any business protecting consumers and competition when it comes to the most important communications network of our lifetime. But this chairman, Ajit Pai, has said this. They said, we don't need to protect consumers and competition when it comes to broadband. We'll turn that over to the Federal Trade Commission, which has much more limited tools. Those are my words, not his words, which I talk about later. I could talk about that later.
I'm going to pause right there. We're talking about the rollback of net neutrality 1 year in. We're checking in on internet access in our country. Gigi Sohn is a distinguished fellow at the Georgetown Law Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy. So do you think internet service providers should be regulated by the government? Should they be allowed to charge websites like Netflix extra for using a lot of bandwidth? Or should that be outlawed to prevent internet providers from favoring certain sites and content? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Gigi, before net neutrality was then established in 2015, have we seen proof? Have we seen internet providers doing this slowing down of the internet, or this throttling, as you talk about more in this past year?
Well, there is some evidence. There was research done by a researcher at Northeastern University that, in fact, some internet service providers were slowing down Netflix. We're slowing down other video applications, but I wouldn't focus on that. I think that's not a good use of our time to discuss that. What I think is more important are the consequences of the FCC abdicating its responsibility to oversee the broadband market. Because frankly, in a lot of ways, I mean, that's actually more dangerous to life and property. So with your permission, I'd love to talk about three instances, and I can talk about them very briefly, where this lack of oversight has affected the American people deeply. And the first happened last year during the Mendocino Camp Fire, which at the time was the biggest fire in California history. Well, at that time, and for about 6 months beforehand, Verizon was throttling the broadband service of the Santa Clara County Fire Department, which was in charge of coordinating emergency response through its broadband system to the fire. And for 7 months, the fire department engaged in this, you know, battle with Verizon. Please, we're in the middle of this emergency. We need to have our full broadband service. And Verizon said, kept saying, well, if you pay us 2.5 times more, we will restore your full broadband service. And lo and behold, that's what the fire department did, because it had to, because it was in the middle of this fire. Well, the problem with that is that the fire department had nowhere to go.
And we need to pause right there with that story. Gigi Sohn is our guide. She's a distinguished fellow at the Georgetown Law Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy. We're talking about the repeal of net neutrality 1 year later. What does it mean? You can join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. We'll be back on this in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the rolling back of net neutrality 1 year after the FCC's new rules went into effect. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The repeal of Obama-era net neutrality rules faced widespread criticism. The big fear was that consumers could be taken advantage of by internet bandwidth carriers based on the type of websites and web services they access. But the FCC says internet speeds actually have increased by 40% in the U.S. last year, and U.S. homes wired for broadband, that hit a record high. So what is internet access like in your home or in your community? Do you have problems getting online? What would help the most? Where do you stand on net neutrality? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Gigi Sohn stays with us. She is a distinguished fellow at the Georgetown Law Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy. Gigi, we're going to pick up that story as you were talking about the California wildfires and this fire department that went over its data plan. It went over its data cap. How did the carrier respond?
So the carrier said, if you pay us 2.5 times more, we will, you know, give you full broadband service. We will increase your speeds and you can have whatever speeds you want. And people might say, well, that's the deal that the fire department cut, but that's not really the point. The point is the fire department had no place to go. And what I found really interesting about this whole incident is that neither the Federal Communications Commission nor the Federal Trade Commission, which purportedly is supposed to be protecting consumers in the broadband space now that the FCC has abdicated, said if only the fire department had come to us with a complaint, we could have fixed this. So that's story number one. Story number two, and this is another one where we're really talking about, you know, life and limb being at risk, was it was found by Vice Motherboard, which is a publication, that 3 of the 4 national mobile wireless carriers, AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint, were collecting people's precise geolocation data. So in other words, where you are at any particular time on your cell phone, and selling it to data brokers, who then turned around and sold it to bounty hunters for $300 a subscriber. Okay, now bounty hunters find people that don't want to be found, like, for instance, domestic violence victims or estranged girlfriends and boyfriends. So, you know, whether this has resulted in any violence yet, I don't know. But the point is that if there was some FCC oversight, this wouldn't have happened.
Well, okay, people who are in favor of less regulation, they argue that net neutrality was harmful to innovation, stifling competition. Have you seen anything like that?
I don't know how you can stifle competition when most Americans don't have a choice of more than 2 broadband providers. And you said at the, you know, at the change there that internet speeds have gone up. Well, that's nice, but that has nothing to do with net neutrality. That has nothing to do with, you know, whether an ISP has the choice to block you or throttle you or engage in paid prioritization. And the fact that the FCC says that a record high number of Americans have connectivity, the fact of the matter is the FCC has no idea how many Americans have connectivity. They say about 23 million Americans lack connectivity, but other folks, for example, Microsoft has done a test that show that 162 million, so 8 times more, don't have connectivity. The way the FCC collects data on who has broadband is so poor that it doesn't even warrant any mention. So they're very good at promoting themselves and how great the world is. But the fact of the matter is if you have a complaint, if Comcast decides tomorrow to charge you 3 times more than what you pay today, there's nothing you can do about it. No government agency can help you.
Gigi Sohn, let me ask this way. So in the year since net neutrality rules were repealed, have there been any changes that everyday internet users would notice, would appear in front of them and say, wow, that's different?
Yeah, and that is they have nobody to complain to about their internet service. And let me tell you, as a person who worked at the FCC, there were thousands of complaints every month about internet service providers, okay? And number one, that they did engage in net neutrality. Understand that not every violation of the throttling and no blocking and the paid prioritization rule, you know, makes it to the newspaper. You know, sometimes it just happens to people every day and they complain to the FCC about it. So that is, you know, the FCC's complaint system is not something that was, you know, just laid there dormant. We actually had dozens of people answering the phones and going online to collect these complaints. So yeah, that's a big thing that actually affects people every day. Now, did they see major changes in their, you know, in the quality of their internet service to the extent, you know, of blocking, throttling, paid prioritization? No, not yet. But you have to understand something else. This case is under appeal. We are waiting any day now. Is when I get off the phone with you today, I'm going to be waiting to hear news about whether the Federal Court of Appeals here in Washington, D.C. has decided whether the repeal of net neutrality was illegal. So understand that these companies, when it comes to that kind of behavior, are on their best behavior right now.
Can you explain this legal battle over the repeal of net neutrality regulations? Can you explain what each side is arguing?
Sure. Our side, which is a group of nonprofit organizations like the one I used to run, Public Knowledge, and companies like Mozilla and Vimeo and others, and those state attorney generals, said that the FCC did not give an adequate reason for repealing the net neutrality rule. So the FCC's biggest argument, which it makes in return, is that the net neutrality rules stifled broadband investment, and that after the rules were repealed, investment flourished. Well, the fact of the matter is that after the rules were repealed, Verizon, Comcast, Charter, and AT&T all announced that they were going to invest less. This happened almost, you know, like almost right after the FCC repealed the rules, they all announced it. The fact of the matter is regulation rarely impacts investment, and it didn't impact investment there. So that, you know, that emperor had absolutely no clothes. But, you know, there was a 5-hour oral argument. So when you bring a big case like this, you get the opportunity to argue the case in front of a panel of 3 judges. The oral argument went for 5 hours. So it's a very multi-layered argument. But the basic is, we said, what the FCC did in repealing this rule was contrary to law and was not supported by the facts on the record. And I believe that we will win. On what grounds we'll win, I don't know, because there were so many different arguments against this repeal. But I do believe we'll win. And every Tuesday and every Friday, when the D.C. Circuit, which is the Federal Court of Appeals in Washington, D.C., puts out decisions, I worry from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. waiting for that decision to come out. And it should come out very soon.
Gigi, why isn't the Federal Trade Commission equipped to handle the job, the rules of governing the Internet and supporting consumers?
God, there's so many reasons. Number one, it doesn't have the technical expertise. It hasn't had a chief technology officer in about a year and a half. I actually testified in an FTC hearing trying to help them be better regulators in this space, and it was amazing how little they knew. That's number one. Number two, the Federal Trade Commission does not have rulemaking authority. So it can't set rules of the road like we did in 2015 that protect consumers before they're harmed. They can only do enforcement after the fact. I mean, look how long it took them to impose a fine on Facebook for the Cambridge Analytica disaster. I mean, it takes forever. They engage in investigation, but they can't protect people before they're harmed. And as I mentioned before, this can actually affect life and limb. Thirdly, and this is really important, the FTC can only go after behavior that is unfair or deceptive. So if you're Internet service provider says, we're not going to block, we're not going to throttle, we're not going to engage in paid prioritization, and they do, that's actionable. But if the Internet service provider tells you it's going to do all those things, then the FTC has nothing to say about it. So to the extent that people are upset about the possibility of underlying behavior, well, that's, the FTC can't do anything about it. So its toolbox for handling these kind of issues is very limited.
In our final moments here, if the net neutrality repeal is upheld, how could it change the Internet as we know it and the way we use the Internet, in the long term?
Well, I think it will give much more control to Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, Charter, or Spectrum, as some people know it, and you'll have a lot less control over it. You will see certain websites, whether you want them to or not, to come up faster. You will see, again, pay-for-play schemes where, you know, companies, kind of like cable TV, right, where, you know, companies pay freight to get on a cable TV system. I just think, you know, what we've so enjoyed about the internet is our ability to control our experience. And I think you will see for sure once the litigation is out of the way. And by the way, this case is likely going to the Supreme Court anyway. I don't know if the Supreme Court will take it, but the litigation is not going to end with this decision from the federal court in D.C. It's going to continue on for a while. But the fact of the matter is you'll have a lot less control over your internet experience.
Gigi, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Gigi Sohn is a distinguished fellow at the Georgetown Law Institute for Technology, Law, and Policy. She served at the Federal Communications Commission from 2013 to 2016 as a counselor to the chairman. Coming up, we look at the history of air conditioning and why the debate over indoor temps is so heated. That's after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.